Tweet at TodaySOR.
You're very welcome back to the programme. Well, I am joined now by the German ambassador to Ireland, Dr. Eckhard Lubkemeyer. He arrived to take up his position just months after Ireland entered the EU IMF bailout programme in 2010. And after a turbulent enough period for Irish-German relations, his tenure here is about to come to an end. So he's come in to us to take a look back over the last few years. Thank you very much indeed for coming into us this morning, ambassador.
Good morning. Thanks for
having me. We might take you right back to the very beginning of your tenure here in Ireland. I think it was the morning after you arrived, the Star had a headline saying, "Hands off our flag." Did you know what you were arriving into at that point?
No, I didn't. No. But it was alluding to a remark done by a German commissioner at the time, and in his capacity as a private person. So actually, it wasn't a remark done by anybody from the German government. So it was easy for me to say, well, this is his personal view. And it's certainly not my view. Because
he was basically saying the Irish flag should be flown at half mast until we paid back our debts.
I know. So I was kind of joking and saying, when I presented my credentials to the then President McAleese only the day before, we were flying the Irish tricolour, not at half mast, but at our together with the German flag on the car, on the official car. So, yeah.
But was it difficult for you at that point coming into Ireland? Because, you know, it was a very turbulent time for us here. And I think many felt that in some ways, the EU, with Germany as one of the very senior players, could have been doing a lot more for us and in some ways were to blame for some of the mess we got ourselves into in the debt.
Oh, yeah, that has been a recurrent theme in my engagement with the Irish public. And I don't mind people being critical of German policy. I always represented our view. I defended our position, but I don't mind a critical dialogue at all. I always used to say, yes, I'm the German ambassador to this country. Yes, I'm also the representative of the German taxpayer in this country. But I'm also a fellow European from Germany. And why I'm here for engaging in a dialogue with my fellow Europeans from Ireland. So a critical dialogue at times. And this is as it should be. I remember a French philosopher once saying, nothing is more dangerous than an idea when it's the only idea you have. And certainly, Germany does not have a monopoly on wisdom. We do have our policy. I am here to represent Germany and our policy. But as I said, I didn't shy from engaging in a critical dialogue, and that's the way as it should be. And that's part of the advantages of being in a member of the European family. That yes, you can engage in an open and sometimes critical dialogue. Why not?
And Ambassador, can I ask you, I mean, at the time that you were appointed to be Irish ambassador, was this something that the German diplomatic corps had to be very careful about who they chose to come to Ireland? Did they realise that it would be a tough enough job to represent, as you say, the German taxpayer here in Ireland?
You would have to ask them. I would hope they...
You've been deputy
this
ambassador
was not
in the
an
UK
accident,
before.
Accidental choice, yes. Yeah. We are actually... At least when it comes to the ambassadors representing Germany in EU member states, we are more and more encouraged, urged to do what we call public diplomacy, what I referred to earlier as engaging in a dialogue with the public in the country that you are an ambassador in. And this is something that's the way that we are supposed to do. European policy is no longer a foreign policy. It's common domestic European policy of all of us. So why not having a frank and open dialogue among us about what is right and what is to be decided in Brussels together?
And Ambassador, can I ask you, I mean, as I say, back in 2010, many would have believed, and still now, that... One of the problems for Ireland was that we couldn't control our boom because we had no control over our interest rates and that they were being kept artificially low because it suited a manufacturing country like Germany to be able to sell the goods that you manufacture quite cheaply around Europe. Do you think there's truth in that? That the bigger member states kind of steamrolled over the interests of smaller states like Ireland?
No, I don't think at all. I think being a member of the European Union, yes, of course, first I should say, size matters even in the European Union, I'm not making any bones about this. Germany is a big country. Currently, economically, we are the strongest member of the European Union. But I should also like to say that for a small country or a smaller country, being a member of the European Union, you are actually more sovereign being a member of this club than outside the club. Because you wield more influence at the table in Brussels than you would staying outside. And secondly, I would also maintain that we have been quite supportive, being the strongest member, being the anchor of the Eurozone. We have tried and we have been quite supportive of our European neighbors, those who are in need of support. And we know what it means to be in a crisis, because only 10 years ago, Germany was in a deep crisis, and we had to do a serious reform job to get out of the crisis. We were lucky because we had our crisis before the big European crisis broke. In that sense, we were stronger.
You kind of come through it.
Yes, when we as Europeans went into the crisis, than many of our European neighbors were. But we know what it is, what it means to be in a deep economic crisis.
And what about the German public? I mean, when they see Germany being involved in these EU bailouts of countries like Ireland, like Greece, do they ever go, hang on a sec, what's in this for us? You know, do they ever get fed up with the idea that Germany
is... Not fed up, of course, but there is concern. There is concern that maybe Germany is taking on too much of the common burden in the European Union, in particular in the Eurozone. There is concern that this might cost us too much. At the same time, all the major programs, decisions in supporting our neighbors inside the Eurozone, they were taken by a huge majority in the Bundestag. The German people know that it is in their very best interest to support their European neighbors, because our economic well-being, our political, democratic political stability, it all depends on being a member of the European club.
And that's still as strong.
We are well off when our European neighbors are well off. But of course, everybody has to do their own bit for the common good in Europe.
What about the idea that the bondholders, this is another issue, very much a perception that Ireland could have chosen to burn some of the bondholders who had not been covered by the bank guarantee. The IMF, we were talking to somebody who was part of that, who covered the IMF mission in Dublin, that they were supportive of this idea, and yet it was blocked at EU level.
Actually,
you know, a feeling that Ireland shouldn't
have. I have to come in here, because it wasn't blocked at EU level. It was never discussed at the EU political level. The ECB at the time had something to say about this, and I wouldn't want to comment on ECB policy, but I don't recall a single decision at European political level that this shouldn't be done. I have to admit that the challenge when the crisis broke was to prevent contagion, and this was not only a crisis in one single member state, it was a Eurozone-wide crisis. So we all had to be concerned in terms of trying to contain the crisis from spreading even further. And so the worry at the time was, if I read the policy and the reasoning of the ECB or the European Central Bank correctly at the time, was that if we allow this to happen in one country, it might spread to other countries, and then this might lead to an even bigger problem.
So I suppose you could take from that, maybe not in the interest of the Irish taxpayer, but in the interest of the wider EU. Do you think that in return for that, Ireland is owed something at this point?
Ireland was owed something. And Ireland did get something. You did get the bailout program. This crisis, this country, sorry for being so blunt, but was at the brink of bankruptcy. So you did get substantial help in terms of the bailout program, the extension of the maturities of the loans, the interest rate was lowered, and most of all, the prom notes were converted into long-running bonds. The official figure is it saved you like 20 billion in terms of refinancing that you would have done had the prom notes not been converted into long-running state bonds. So yes, Ireland did get substantial help, and we are seeing positive results now in this country. there is light at the end of the tunnel. We are not out of the woods yet, neither in Ireland nor in the Eurozone. But it seems, at least, that the light at the end of the tunnel is getting brighter and that there is hope that the worst is behind us.
IMF commentator was also saying that he thinks, you know, it's highly unlikely that there will ever be a black and white write-down of debt for Ireland. But he believes one way it could work is that over the next few years, it'll be done quietly. Debts will be extended. It'll never be said outright. Can you see that? Things being eased up in Ireland?
Oh, that's not for me to say. That will have to be decided at the political level. But what I can say is that, if I recall it correctly, the first loans, and all we are talking about now are long-running loans, the first loans, for example, from the Promnote deal, will only have to be repaid by 2027, and the next ones even further down the road. So whether this will happen or not, the immediate issue on the table now is whether this country will be able, if you decide to do so, to repay part of the loans, those given by the IMF, because you can now refinance yourself at the international market at a lower rate than the IMF
loans,
the interest rates of the IMF loan. So maybe you can seize this opportunity now presented by the market, and I should say this, presented because of the Irish reform program, because confidence in the country has returned on the part of international investors. So you can now avail yourself of much lower interest rates. And maybe this is something that you can negotiate with the IMF and with the EU so that, and again, every bit helps, so that it will save you interest rate repayments.
And Ambassador, looking at the wider issues around Europe, I suppose through the Eurozone crisis, the profile, the status of Germany within the EU has grown enormously. Currently, we've been talking about Gaza this morning. How complicated is German history in terms of spearheading an EU response to what is going on in Israel and Gaza now?
We won't spearhead any response. We are part of the European Union here. We are not a standalone player in this. And this not only has to do with German history, but it does have to do with German history, obviously. But you have to be seen as an honest broker on the part of the two conflicting parties. And hopefully Europe can be of help here. But again, Europe as alone won't be able to do it. Probably the U.S., not only probably the U.S. still is a power which could wields more power, more influence in the Middle East than we as Europeans do. But Germany alone, never ever.
Yeah, and is that kind of a decision made within Germany? Is it a particularly difficult issue for Germany to deal with it?
It certainly is a difficult issue. I mean, for us, but also for everybody. I mean, when you see the pictures, just looking at the screen when coming in here this morning, this is horrific, no doubt about it. And it is. And the question is, how can you convince the two conflicting parties that they have to gain not only from a truce, but from, let's say, from an arrangement that would lead to an enduring peace, not only a peace that that is rather fragile and that is bound to escalate into another conflict, but a long-lasting solution to the conflict. We have long been grappling with finding such a long-lasting solution, but it takes the parties on the ground to this. And if I may, so, I mean, don't get me wrong, but in this way, it is a bit similar to the Northern Ireland conflict, because without the two conflicting parties involved here, you will never, ever be able to reach a long-lasting solution.
Are we relying too much on the Americans in it? Should Europe have a stronger role here? Could it be able to do more? Because, I mean, it very much seems that the Americans are not being able to effect change at the moment.
Yes, but at this point in time, at least one probably has to be realistic and say, if they can't do it, nobody else will be able to do it.
Okay, well, listen, Ambassador, your tenure comes to an end in the next few days. Where are you off to?
My next posting and final one will be the United Arab Emirates in Abu Dhabi. Am I allowed to say two sentences to the Irish people?
You may indeed.
Yes, thank you very much, because I really did enjoy, not I, my wife as well, we did enjoy being here, and we are departing with heavy hearts. The people of this island have given their face and their heart to the island that we have come to love. So much so that we will not say goodbye, but in German it's Auf Wiedersehen, see you again. So definitely we will be back and we'll be back. Sloan and best of luck to our listeners and to all my fellow European citizens from Ireland.
Well, Ambassador, thanks very much. I think the abiding memory for many people of you will be you wearing that T-shirt,
yes.
Angela Merkel thinks I'm working
yes.
at the World Cup.
Thank you so much.
But thank you for coming in to join us this morning.
Thank you.
Today with Sean O'Rourke on RTE Radio 1.